Hello, Guardians. Welcome to the episode 40 of This Week at Shrouded, your unlikely go-to Destiny 2 podcast. I'm your host, Tate Greener. Today, we're diving into some of some interesting topics in the world of Destiny. Joining me are just Mr. Wreck today, who brings his own unique insights into today's discussion. We've got a packed episode covering everything from the latest updates to the new season and dungeon. Well, not much about the dungeon. Well, I guess Wreck could probably talk a little bit about it, but probably don't want to get into too many spoilers. Anyway, great to have you here, Wreck. How's the gaming universe been treating you this week?
The dungeon was a bit of an ass kicker today, but.
Ass kicker.
Yeah.
The internet seems to be thinking it's really good.
I mean, yeah, it's all right. It's good.
I mean, I haven't been in there, so.
I don't want to give too much away, but the mechanics are easy. The enemy density is high. There's stuff in there like there was in Grasp of Avarice in terms of gotchas.
Murder things, got it.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that.
And the boss encounters are, especially the final, are not for the faint of heart. So.
What does that mean?
Means they can be a little rough. They are going to be, it's going to be one of those things where the more casual side of the casual community is going to complain about things being too hard. Where the other side of the community is going to be like, they nailed the difficulty kind of situation. Because the mechanics on the final encounter in particular, the mechanics plus the enemy density, they're absolutely going to be a little hard to manage for very casual players.
So, okay. That's fair. But you can overlevel for regular dungeons, right? So they can just go do that.
I mean, yeah. They could do that.
Correct.
I don't know how much that's going to help on the last encounter, though, because there's an instant you die mechanic.
Yeah.
It's not like wiping the group. It's an individual thing, so you got to be keeping track of multiple things at once. That's what's going to get people killed.
Oh, okay.
Having to keep track of everything.
Sounds fun.
There's a mechanic where you get a debuff that you can hand off,
mm-hmm.
but it can get handed off back to you repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not paying attention... and the timer doesn't refresh. Like, it's one static timer that's globally going down. So if it gets handed to you at the wrong moment, you'll just die. So you have to have your eye on the ball. You have to be keeping an eye on your little status monitor. Or you have to be running away the whole time. One of the two. So.
Okay.
Anyway. It's good stuff. I was disappointed that... certain Destiny characters who are part of the lore for this place didn't actually show up in the audio stuff, but other than that, pretty good. No, the armor's stupid as well. I think the armor is dumb. It all looks bad.
That's okay. We have Witcher armor. Who cares what the armor looks like in that dungeon?
I'm not tossing any silver to my Witcher, thank you.
You will if you win some on the stream.
I mean, if I win some, that's a different story. Then I'm not the one tossing silver at it, you know. Somebody else doing it.
Okay. Okay. I see. Fair enough.
How about you? What kind of gaming you been up to?
The only gaming I've been doing is Destiny. So, obviously, new season. I've been checking it out, playing a little bit. The new activities, I guess. The new activities, they're okay. I like the long... Or the...
Coil?
Coil, yeah. Yeah, Coil's been all right. I haven't done too much of it, and I've been playing on my Steam Deck because I haven't been home too much. So I don't necessarily get as intense into a gaming session when I'm playing on my Steam Deck, because it's like playing on a really awkward giant controller. I don't like playing on controllers either. So anyway, I've just been kind of chilling in there. I haven't done a full run in there or anything. Just gone in a couple times. We've done a couple of them. Run through two levels or something. I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway, it seems fun. And when I sit down at my computer, you know, I'm going to go for the long run or whatever it is that gets you a bunch of loot. I don't know. I don't really understand everything quite yet about it, but it looks fun. Looks like a better version of the randomized, well, it's not random, I guess. A better version of, I don't know, it's fun. I don't know, a better version of what? I was trying to think of an activity that you upgraded as you went along, but I can't remember the name of it.
Well, Deep Dives
was one. Right. Better version of Deep Dives. But you get to pick,
I like it.
You get to pick your things too, so that's nice.
It rewards you for subjecting yourself to higher difficulty. So I think that's good. And you can stop at any time. But I don't know, in two runs I made 10. I earned 10 Ascendant Alloys. So, you know.
Whoa.
I'll take it. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Alright, I gotta run some bigger runs then. Yeah. That's good. That's what people want. They want they actually want rewards for doing activities. That'll put you in there. That'll put people in there.
Bungie is already toning down the difficulty to get those big rewards.
Oh, already.
Yeah.
Sick. So yeah, I've been testing that out, been playing just the regular activity, the easier one, and you know, going through obviously the first weekly story quest. Interesting concept. Riven's not great. I mean, Riven's great. Mara, you know, Mara's Mara, whatever. I hate that everyone is obsessed with her in a weird way. And that's all they talk about on the internet. So, but other than that, she's a good character. why is everyone obsessed with Mara, by the way? Like, she's a video game character, guys. And even if she was real, she wouldn't have sex with you.
Listen, it's the same people who are watching animated pornography, all right? You know, they enjoy the pixels. What are you gonna do?
But why obsess over it? Like, I definitely do the whole like, oh yeah, super well modeled character, super good looking, whatever. We did the whole Sabbathic thing and the big booty cheeks and the claps and the ho. And we have a lot of fun with that type of stuff. It's like, but yeah, I can look at a character and go, yeah, well, I mean, that's a very well modeled character. It's very attractive, but I don't obsess over them on an actual level. It's weird. Whatever. Maybe it's not weird. Maybe I'm weird for thinking it's weird. What do you think? Am I the weird one?
Well, it depends on the company you're keeping, I guess. But listen, if I had an orange YouTube search history, nothing about any animated characters would be in there. So,
all right, hold on. There you go. See, I know I'm safe here because I don't even know. What is an orange YouTube search history?
Pornhub is orange YouTube, homie.
Because
it has a logo similar to YouTube, but it's black and orange instead of...
Wait, does it?
You know. Yeah.
Oh shit! I can, you know, I've never put that together.
Well, there you go.
Hold on, YouTube logo images. Okay, so there is some that are where it's
yeah,
where black and white and
hub
white
is in the orange rather than in yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, see, I wouldn't have put those two as similar. I guess that makes sense, though. So do people call it that, or is that just something that you called it one time and kept it going with it?
Some people call it that.
Okay, but, I've just never heard it called that before. Mm-hmm. All right, Orange YouTube. Got it. I'll remember that. I wonder how many times people have said that and it just went over my head. And I had no idea what they're talking about. Whatever. Sorry, internet. I'm not a degenerate. People, gamer girl, people call it that. Yeah, of course you do.
Stop reading the chat. You're going to get lost, especially with these kind of topics.
All right, well, that's about it. I haven't been playing anything else. It's been Destiny, obviously, Season of the Witch launched, so I've been hopping in that, having some fun. I'm going to get in the dungeon sometimes. I got a family thing tomorrow. I got to teach Gatto how to stream on Sunday, but maybe Sunday evening I'll get into the actual dungeon and see what's going on, see what's up, and play some more Blind Well.
Yeah, fun times.
All right, let's get... Sorry.
They tweeted that they're not going to make anybody do that again.
Until week 6. Then we got to go back in. I thought that was dumb anyway, people caring. It took like 10 minutes to do that. I had to do 2 blind wells. Like,
maybe they're so bad they can't manage a tier 4 blind well.
I mean, that's not improbable. There's probably a bunch of new people that have never done a blind well before going in there. And they're like, what is going on? What do I do? We just happen to know.
Could be.
They should have put a couple new bosses in there for funsies, though. If they're going to make us redo it, throw in a new Tekken boss of some sort. On the fourth, either the fourth tier or the last of the tier threes as well. Would have been neat.
You're asking for a lot of effort, sir.
I'm not asking for that much effort. They have lots of bosses in the game that they could put into the blind well that aren't in the blind well now. So, like, that can't be that difficult, right? Right. Anyway, so we do have 2 different articles to talk about today. I don't know. I don't want to... Let's try to make this an hour, yeah? Shall we? We've already been going for 20 minutes.
Huh? Indeed.
40 minutes? Okay, we can do this. We can do this. All right. We'll start off. We'll start off with the patch notes. There's probably a bunch of stuff in the patch notes that we've read in previous episodes. So if there's anything in here that I'm repeating, you just let me know. The first up was the ritual activities. Let's talk about the playlist rewards. All ritual activities have been updated, which includes increased base glimmer. New chance for enhancement cores. This change makes activities more rewarding, so it's good. Additionally, rewards improve if you win a Gambit, a competitive Crucible match, or achieve high score in a Nightfall strike or Nightfall. Ooh, I feel like I didn't read that, but I wrote it. That's weird. You get better rewards for doing better in the activities. Oh, that probably motivates people not to AFK farm. A little bit.
Yeah.
This is a great incentive for players to strive, blah, 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 blah. All right. This section 2 is Crucible updates. Now, there's a bunch of exciting updates. Crucible Director has been refreshed. There's now a double rewards booster for Crucible matches. For those who missed Citadel map or miss it, it's making its return to the Dreaming City. New Sparrow control mode has been added, which sounds intriguing. Bungie's also adjusted spawn points on several maps like Endless Veil, Midtown, Meltdown, and alleviate spawn killing and trapping issues. I did break down all little changes from each of the modes. I can quickly go through them, and if there's anything that you think is super relevant, feel free to interrupt me and talk about it.
There's only one thing to mention, and that's that Checkmate doesn't belong in 6v6. It's bad.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to go through this real quick. Competitive division, remove promotion relegation series. I know we talked about that before, from everything except Adept and Ascendant. Fix an issue where players were directed to complete placement matches twice. Glad that's fixed. Competitive playlist now only features survival and countdown rush modes with revised rules. Survival increased respawn count from 4 to 6. Countdown rush decreased score win from 6 to 5. Round time from 120 to 90 seconds. And heavy ammo spawn from 90 to 60 seconds. Enabled unlimited respawns and revives sudden death with elimination rule set. And a final round starts at 4v4 or 4-4. Competitive division rating adjustments revised to Praetor's wins and losses, ignoring inflation protection. Boom. Iron Banner. The one-and-done triumph now requires 8 challenge completions. Fixed an issue with simultaneous eruption dialogue lines. Boom. Medals. Added medals for strand supers and eliminating enemies with sparrows. Oh, that's cool. Crucible Labs. Added checkmate Dominion, checkmate Countdown Rush, and checkmate Clash to Crucible Labs. Decrease the ability cooldown penalty modifier from 50 to 30. Countdown updated round victory banner for defenders to display defense successful instead of attack failed. Added Countdown Rush as a competitive Crucible mode with fixes for music issues and sudden death occurrences. Updated score to win in checkmate Countdown to 5. Whew. All right, we're going to keep going. We're just blasting through these. Okay, Trials of Osiris. Added a weekly reward based on the number of consecutive wins before a card is flawed, with longer win streak granting rewards from all lower tiers. Yeah. Yeah. See, from time to time when I read something, I go, oh, yeah, we definitely talked about that like 4 weeks ago when they announced it. Now it's actually being triggered because it's a new season. Yep. But so I guess this is a bit of a reminder to some people that actually pay attention or listen to the podcast regularly. There's probably some new stuff in here that we haven't heard before, but we're going to go through some of it. Anyway, Relic mode, various gameplay and Relic specific changes, including randomized initial Relic order, temporary overshields, adjustments to Relic depots, and updated score requirements and Relic mechanics. Actually, that's all I have for Crucible. What did you say? What sucks? Crucible or checkmate? What?
Checkmate in 6v6 control sucks.
Checkmate control 6v6 is bad. Yeah, I've heard people. I've seen people complaining about
it. It hard encourages hand cannons, and it hard encourages everybody holding each other's hands. So in 3v3. It creates a scenario where duels matter, right?
Yeah, sure.
You need to hit your headshots. But in 6v6, what it turns into is a bunch of people hiding like rats, all grouped together, waiting for people to come around corners. That's what it has turned into.
People are trying that hard in quick play.
It took the whole sitting back game that people complained about with pulse rifles and just amped it up to 11. The ranges aren't quite as long, but people play super cautious even in 6v6. And it's not fun. I don't find it enjoyable at all.
All right.
And I like checkmate, but I just like it in 3v3. I don't like it in 6v6.
Okay, so if we've learned anything this week so far, is if you don't like something in Destiny, go out there and talk about it. And if enough people agree with you, they'll make the change.
Like so, starter bundles?
Yeah. That's a perfect example. There's probably some other shit. Anyway, so go talk about it. There's no need to be a dick about it on the internet. Just go tell them that you don't like it. And if they see enough of those messages or it starts trending, they will seriously consider making a change. So that's the best thing you can do right now. To go out there and sound like a snot, actually. Oh my god, this was so funny. Did you see that tweet that the ex-community manager shot out at Paul Tassi this weekend? Or this week? Mm-hmm. Oh my god, it was so funny. Oh! Okay.
Bring it up. Let's hear it.
So, what Paul wrote is, they were talking about the whatchamacallit, the $15 thing, the starter pack.
Yeah,
okay,
starter pack.
And what he wrote is, in his tweet, he says, I like to believe that there's a DEFCON system at Bungie for people complaining about things. And he wrote, DEFCON 5, Paul Tassi. DEFCON 4, Salt Agrippo. DEF CON 3, Aztecross, DEF CON 2, Goliath, coming out of retirement to chime in, and DEF CON 1, Dotto. And Griffin Bennett, so old community manager, one of the ones that got laid off in October, responded to the tweet and says, you Salt and Aztecross don't even register on the scale, bro. I laughed so fucking hard that literally a community manager basically just came out and said, you three complain so fucking much, we do not listen to a word you said anymore. And Paul responded, he just said, God damn.
Yeah.
And then he clarified a little bit, but I don't know why. But he just said it. He just said, to clarify, I mean, y'all complain so much, it often doesn't register on a DEF CON scale. Which is literally what we all knew he meant. But it was just so much better before he explained it. Anyway, I chuckled a lot that he basically confirming. I laugh, though. I don't really care about Aztecross. I don't pay much attention to him, or I don't see his stuff very often. But I see Paul's and I see Salt's all the time. And it's like, it is like, to me, it's like, oh my God, they just complain about everything. But to see a community manager actually come out legit, like, say like we don't even pay attention to you two or you three technically, but Goliath and Dotto, when they say something, holy shit, do we listen? You know,
did you happen to catch the video in question of Dotto's?
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't watch videos very often.
It was really good. I mean, the first part of it, he only got into them in like the last 2 minutes of a 20-minute video.
Sure.
But I'm really a fan of Toxic Elitist Dotto when he comes out. I think those videos are his best videos. Yeah. I enjoy them the most. And he did not mince any words with Bungie. I thought it was great, personally. He basically just said, you guys are fucking idiots for all the bad press you're going to get over a couple grand that you're going to make off this stupid starter pack scamming people. It's so good.
Well, good for him. And I mean, good they listened, they changed it. I personally, I looked at this and I didn't see much of a problem, mainly because there's plenty of like MMOs or games of service that I started that you can always buy like a deluxe edition for an extra $10 or $15 that come with things that look like they're good at the time because you've never played the game before. But after playing for like 2 hours, you realize that they were pretty useless. So it's a common predatory practice that game developers utilized, typically bundled in with deluxe edition or something. So maybe it doesn't catch as much attention as this just coming out as an extra seasonal or as an extra piece of DLC that's just not coupled with anything. It's just there.
Yeah.
And did you notice that the photo itself was actually wrong? So there was a photo rolling around somewhere that said you only get one prism.
No, it's one
ascendant shard.
Shard.
But the photo itself only showed. But the photo that showed had a one underneath the prism, and everybody was saying one prism.
I mean, the shards, prisms, and cores isn't even part of it. There's no reason not to have a starter pack for new players that includes that stuff. The fact that they want $15 for 3 exotics that nobody really uses anymore other than you, all right, with Sleeper Simulant, and then a couple of mostly useless exotics, one of which only really sees play in PvP, and then only for, like, PvP folks who like to play off-meta shit, and then a Ruinous Effigy, which nobody uses. The only people that use that are people that play the game as a meme, right? And when you compare it to other packs, like the Forsaken pack, if you go buy it, you get a ton of exotics for, right now, $10. It's mm-hmm. the value proposition that was the my problem with it. Like, you're gonna trick somebody into spending $15 on this shit? Really? You're not even going to give them one cool shader, at least? Come on.
Yeah, they should have just added some stuff to it instead of removing it.
There were some people that were complaining about, oh, now you're selling guns. Pay to win, pay to win. I'm like, whatever. Nobody really cares about that. It's a starter pack. Everybody who plays the game for any amount of time, for any real amount of time, already has all this shit anyway. So what do you care? It doesn't matter. And none of it's meta. So who cares? But it would be nice if, you know, if they're going to give them a starter pack, I at least give them some things that are going to actually be, I don't know, useful to their Destiny experience.
Yeah, that's fair. I was looking for the starter pack to see if it was still on there, even for the image. But anyway, my point was they even fucked the image up.
Yeah.
Because they put a 1 under prisms, but in the Steam description it said 5.
I hope whatever marketing guy came up with that, they went ahead and laid him off too as like a latecomer to the layoffs, because that man or woman definitely deserved it, because the fucking tone deafness of their marketing folks when they dropped that. I just... Holy fucking shit. Bungie just walking around with their giant-ass dick flopped around on the ground in front of them, constantly stepping on it.
That was probably some bigwig said, hey, guys, put something out there for $15 that comes with nothing. And they're like, all right, fine. There was no way that a group of marketing department people thought that was a good idea.
Maybe they fired all their marketing people and only had interns left. And I think this was probably queued up a while ago, probably.
Yes.
You think that stuff just happens?
Like, no, absolutely it does not. So.
Oh.
That type of stuff requires actually a lot of coding, you know, to get it in there and get it up on the store and then have it activate and go into the inventory once you've actually, you know, done the purchasing. Like, they probably made less money off of this than it ended up costing them in the long run. Because they probably had a team of working on this for at least a week or so. It's probably like $6,000 at least.
I don't know what happened to Bungie that, you know, they have... Bungie has been so good in the past, more communicative than almost any game developer out there.
Mm-hmm.
Super transparent, always sharing information about what's going on behind the scenes, not making a lot of rash decisions that piss people off. Yes, they have made some decisions over the course of the years that the community hasn't liked, but by and large, they've at least explained it. Lately, though, I mean, for the past year, just fucking... They keep falling down and trying to stand back up and then slipping and falling down again, and that's how it's been for like a year. I don't know what this shit is, but they need to get themselves sorted out, man.
It's either Sony or they're not used to being as down as far as they are right now, and they're trying to find a way to get back up, and it's not working. Because it's no secret, like, Dusty's not doing great. Had its lowest counts of all time right before the season that came up. Everybody says, yes, of course it drops, but like it dropped lower than any other. It dropped lower than during the 6 months of Season of the Lost.
Yeah.
And now we're rolling into a 7-month season that's going to be even longer.
Mm-hmm.
Now the numbers are okay right now. Like it was... decent boost. I don't know what it was. Probably 80,000 or 90,000. But before the season dropped, they were down to like 33,000, 34,000, I think. Average concurrent player. Which was the lowest of all time. Anyway, so that's either it. They're so focused on trying to get back up and get somewhere that's in a good, stable place that will get them what their grand overlords need and want, and also, you know, make them happy and makes the fans happy, or, I don't know, Sony's, you know, making them be more radio silent because it's part of their business culture. I don't know. No idea. But you said it's been about a year, and
yeah,
who's owned them for just a little bit longer than that?
That's fair.
Anyway.
All right, so patch notes. We went on a little side to us, a little side
discussion. That's all right. That's our side discussion. All right, PvE updates are next in the realm of PvE. There are significant changes. Bungie's tuned difficulty levels across various activities to ensure a balanced and enjoyable experience. The adjustments made to enemy health and damage in Lost Sectors Nightfalls aim to provide a challenging yet fair gameplay. All right, sorry. Challenging yet fair gameplay. Additionally, there are changes to specific missions and quests, tweaking the difficulty to align with player feedback. Strikes, Lake of Shadows, fixed a map issue that allowed players to skip the dam section and jump directly into the boss arena. Boo! Adjustment the number of Cheerios? I don't know how I did that. Champions on hero and legendary difficulties and resolved issue where certain champions were not counting correctly towards the score. Ward of Nothing, fix an issue where players could become softlocked at the treasure room. Oh, thank God. That'd be annoying. That's right at the end. RIP. Lost Sectors, hydroponics, fix an issue where players would not be able to return to orbit when failing the activity on Legendary Master difficulty, and addressed an unusually long respawn timer on open world difficulty. You could not return to orbit failing the activity of Legendary Master. So does that mean the game just locked up and you were nice? That sucks. All right, deep dives. They fixed an issue including players who join in progress during the boss fight being teleported back up and into the water tube. That's funny. And issues with the Asha empowerment buff and buff selection phase. All right, raids, Crota's End. Addressed issues with players losing enlightenment when attempting to pick up a sword while performing a finisher. And player abilities going through hive barriers. Last Wish resolved an issue in the finale of Queen's Walk with the Vault of Glass Oracle sound effect playing. You know, they could probably just say Oracle sound effect playing, because everyone knows what Oracle sound is. It doesn't need to be the Vault of Glass Oracle sound. All right, Section 4, Weapons and Armor Balancing. This one's a little bigger, but we did go over the armor exotic stuff last week, so I'm not going to do that again. But it's been a little bit since we went over the weapon balancing that we're going to be rolling into. So with this update, brings a range of balancing adjustments from exotic weapons to the armor, legendary armors as well. Bungie is fine-tuning the game arsenal to ensure a level playing field. We're seeing changes in the weapon perks, damage output, effectiveness in various scenarios, armor sets not being left behind, tweaks aimed to enhancing their utility. Once again, we talked about the exotic armors last week, so we're going to leave that to last week. If you really want to go over it, last week's podcast is available on YouTube and Spotify and all that stuff. So go check it out. So we are going to get right into a couple things. Updated Drang and Zauli's Bane to load ammo at the correct point in the animation. Auto rifles increase damage against miners, minor combatants by 10%, pulse rifles minor and major by 12.5. Glaives increase projectile speed by 30%, increase projectile damage by 25% in PvE, decreased it in PvP. Aggressiveness 123, adaptives 113, and rapid fires 101. Shields. Well, okay, it's shields from glaives. Okay. When the glaive is held, shield energy now recharges passively at a rate of 1% per second. Set up the base glaive shield damage resistance to be tiered in PvP. Base glaive shield damage resistance remains at 50%. Reduce damage. All
right. Pause here.
Okay.
That glaive change is super significant.
Okay.
Because it takes all of the exotic class glaives that were terrible, and now they're all good.
Great. Base glaive shield. So the base...
the automatic recharge
okay.
is the good thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you don't have to take fire to recharge it, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to do damage.
You don't have to do anything in order to use the alternate fire abilities of them. You'll get the alternate fire eventually, which takes what was kind of mid perks on them because of how much you had to charge them and makes them pretty good. pretty good.
Okay, so totally viable in PvP now.
They're viable enough that I am spending the time to collect multiple ciphers so I can get my patterns. And listen, I don't go visit Sir to go do 21 ritual activities very often. So it's worth my time.
All right. There was two more notes on here about the glaives. Reduced damage resistance against primary ammo and melee attacks to 30%. And reduce the delay after firing before you could melee from 0.75 seconds to 0.2 seconds. That's pretty fast. That's like pew pew, pew pew. That's what, 0.2 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. On a sniper rifles, increased sniper rifle PvE damage flat rate buff 15%. Boom. This also applies to exotic snipers that use heavy ammo. Okay, hold on.
Whisper of the Worm is pretty good right now.
I was waiting for you to say still sucks, but that's good. That's good. I'm happy that it's a little bit better. So it gets a 15% buff. I need to ask, though. This applies to exotic sniper rifles that use heavy ammo. What ones don't use heavy ammo? Darcy, right?
Izanagi's.
That's a sniper rifle?
Is a sniper rifle.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Borealis.
So,
Izanagi,
Darcy. So all of them except for Whisper.
Cloud Strike.
Okay, never mind.
No, the heavy ones are like Whisper, Darcy.
Darcy's heavy. Okay.
What are the other heavy snipers? I don't even remember. Those are the two that really come to mind. But
so
I mean, really, we're talking about Whisper. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
All right, I wondered about that. I think my brain like had them backwards for a second. I was like, wait, there's not many. But no, it's the opposite. There's not many. Power brick. Or, I mean, heavy brick exotic snipers. Cool. All right, but we're talking about Whisper. That's fair. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's exciting. That's really it. All right, 15% flat rate buff damage PV'd for that. All snipers plus exotic. Well, all legendary snipers plus exotic heavy snipers. All right, swords. Updated the sword reticle to convey more information and now have elements that better show current charge state and reflect its current recharge delay. Caster swords and other swords fire projectiles now have subtle central elements on the reticle in addition to the updates to the assist in aiming. Fix an issue causing sword perks to activate while guarding to not activate properly while the player has an overshield. Fix an issue causing knockback to not be negated while blocking with a sword while the player has an overshield of any kind. And fix an issue to unpowered amulet swords still receiving buffs from Banner of War. Exotic weapons. So we got Vex Missile Class, increased damage versus minor combatants by 10%, bosses by 25%, champions by 200% when in LFR mode.
I wanted this to be better.
200% is still a lot. Is that not better? That's crazy.
It is good, but it's still... Mythic Class does not feel as good to use right now as other legendary solar guns, especially the ones you can craft.
Ah, that sucks.
Sorry. I mean, on a Rain of Fire build on a Warlock, it's pretty good, but everything you can do with that Rain of Fire build, all the radiance you can get just from the artifact right now anyway. So,
got it. All right, fair enough. Revision 0, increased damage versus champions by 100%. I can't see why that would make me want to use it. Unless I need a pulse rifle.
Or an anti-barrier weapon.
Yeah. Oh, is revision eccentric anti-barrier?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That might actually be helpful this season. Because what do we got? Sidearms?
Yeah, barrier sidearms.
Okay, so basically we're going to be left to anything intrinsic, which is revision 0 and arbalist.
Well, there's also the new, I mean, you've got Forerunner. Yeah. You could use
it's also a sidearm.
Right. There's the new sidearm from the dungeon, which is actually, it's actually interesting if you look at it in the game, because it's not, it's a sidearm, but it's actually a hand crossbow. So it's pretty cool.
Okay.
And then there's the new sidearm archetype for legendary sidearms that are special ammo that come in the dungeon, the new rocket sidearms.
All right, fine. You convinced me. But I'll probably still run Arbalest. All right. So, Thorn. I've actually been using Thorn. Because the whole Remnant overflow thing to 40 is crazy. Why is this so many bullets? Also, it never ends. Like, I never drop below 30. Like, it's insane. That's so... Okay, I mean, it's good.
Its main competitor is Osteo, which goes up to like 84 bullets or 88 bullets or some crazy number like that. So they're trying to maintain that same kind of feeling, you know?
Are you being attacked by the World of Worlds aliens?
No. One of my neighbor's kids is on a small, like, dirt bike kind of thing, driving up and down the street.
That literally, to me, sounded like the big... sound like when they're shitting oil out of them.
About to be death raid. Yeah,
yeah, that's what it sounded like to me over the mic. That was crazy. I was hoping it was over the mic and not out my window. I was hoping you were about to be death raid and not me. All right. Anyway, picking up Remnant can overflow the magazine by up to 40 max rounds, which is crazy. Thorn Catalyst improves stats and functionality. I haven't got a catalyst yet. Adds 20 plus range and 10 of stability. Kills are picking up Remnant, grants additional range as well as handling and mobility.
It is all over the Crucible right now.
It's strong. It looks strong.
Those two adjustments bring it right in line with all of the other top end hand cannons.
Yeah.
And with Checkmate being the game mode in 6v6,
you want a good gun. Yep.
Hand cannons are king there.
All right. Oh, and then the new skin for it is fire. If you guys haven't seen it, it's styled after Root of Nightmares. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's like if you took a heavy duty handgun and strapped a Bad Dragon dildo to it. Yep.
I do gotta ask though, why didn't they just make all the Root of Nightmare weapons look that cool?
I don't know, man.
Too smart?
I guess.
Like, does Thorn have any reason to have a Root of Nightmare skin? Like, is it any correlation to Nezeract or to pyramids or anything?
It gets you to open your wallet.
Okay,
that's all.
That's smart. That's smart. They did good. This is good. I bought it right away. I was like, "This is cool." I don't even use Thorn, and I bought it, even though it would be on Bright Dust later this season. I was like, "No, I want it now." And I bought it. So, yeah. Fuck me sideways, right? All right. Let's keep it going. Class Glaives. General changes. Grant one more ammo when you activate the perk so you can use it even if you're out of ammo. Holy guacamole, baby. No longer passively drains shield energy when your special ammo reload to activate the perk.
So good.
That is... Yeah, that's a great addition. Makes it a little bit more reasonable.
Makes them useful, especially the Titan Glaive.
Yeah.
If you Titan around, you can just fucking throw mini bubbles everywhere.
Nice. Oh, man. I guess I'll have to test them out. I never ended up getting the Warlock in the Titan one because I heard they sucked. So maybe I'll have to actually log in and grab those. Fuck me. All right. No, it can also no longer be deactivated by reloading or stowing the weapon. All right. So I've got here written down specifically each one of them. The Warlock Healing Turret projectiles can now provide cure and restoration and detonate in 8-meter radius area of effect to provide benefits to nearby allies. Also increase the mag size from 4 to 5. The Titan passing through the bubble now grants bonus reload speed, handling, and small amount of stacking bonus damage in addition to the overshield. Reduce the health of the bubble from 8,000 to 2,400 to account for the increased uptime and improved effects. That sounds crazy HP difference, but Must make more
sense. You're constantly
sense
able to drop
more.
Them is
yeah,
the
okay.
difference,
all
right?
Yeah, so. Okay. I figured. I just like, holy shit. All right. And then the Hunter's Lightning Seeker now jolts targets on impact and then reduce the direct hit damage of the round that generates the lightning bolt to account for the free ammo being generated.
And the Hunter one is a rapid fire frame, so you can pump shots out so fast.
That's
it's cool. so good.
That's cool.
It's especially good in PvP.
Incidentally. All right, I'm going to have to try these out. All right, Osteostriga, remove the submachine gun damage bonus scaler that was affecting the poison damage. This brings Osteostriga poison down to match standard necrotic grip poison, though it will still deal 40% bonus damage versus miners for being an exotic. That'll help bring it off or bring it down some, but it's still strong. I'd say it's still pretty strong. Salvation Grip. I remember I was talking about the changes for this one a while ago, but place a limit on the detonation when damaging stasis crystals. This will help prevent the detonation from being able to shatter too many crystals on a single frame, which would sometimes kick the player to orbit with an error code. Oh, Salvation Grip, Shatter, Kills, Salvation Grip, Shatter, Kills, and Headstone Stasis Crystal, Shatter, Kills. No longer use a blank icon on the kill screen. Okay, so they updated that. Cool. All right, we're getting close. All right, let's keep going. Tommy's Matchbook updated the description strings to properly communicate the Scorch functionality. It's tied with the catalyst being equipped. And then we had Winterbite increase the detonation damage of the large projectile by 25%. The self-damage blast radius has been halved, and the self-damage has been reduced. So less likely to kill yourself, increased damage of the detonation. Cool. Monte Carlo, the bayonet stab now has a controller rumble. It didn't before. That's funny. Wicked Implement fixed the issue causing Wicked Implement spawn stasis shards from activating the collective action perk. Two-tailed Fox fixed an issue causing Two-tailed Fox to revert to void damage when stowed while empty. How dare it! Quicksilver Storm fixed an issue where Quicksilver Storm plays special reload animation in third person instead of normal reload when a normal reload is executed. So if you reload it, sometimes it would change you to third person?
Mm-hmm.
So funny. All right, fix an issue where Quicksilver foregrip animates when firing in auto rifle mode. And a tractor cannon fix an issue where tractor cannon was missing hip fire reticule. Whew, perk changes. All right, Danger Zone made a small change where on how it works.
This is not a small change.
Okay. Well, what they wrote is we made a small change to how it works on rocket launchers. You can figure it out. This must be the rocket jump perk?
Yeah, so okay. When Danger Zone is proc'd, if you fire a rocket at your feet, it takes like maybe a fifth of your bar rather than killing you outright and sends you flying into the air.
That's awesome. I love it. All right, let's keep that in mind. All right, Heavy Grip. Removed an unintended effect, slightly increasing incoming flinch. Precision Instrument increased enhanced precision instrument damage bonus at max stacks from 26% to 30%. So it looks small buff, but buff nonetheless. Kinetic Tremors made the activation requirement more consistent across archetypes. Pulse Rifles reduced from 12 to 11. Enhanced increased from 10 to 9, or 9 to 10. Okay. Wait, so they nerfed, enhanced, and buffed regular, okay?
Yeah.
Whatever. And then non-burst sidearms, same thing. Oh, wait, no. From 12 to 8, and then from 9 to 7. Okay. So those are both buffs, but that's 2 and that's 4. Whew. That goes all the way to 8, though, and this is only 7. Okay, so it makes you actually wanting to enhance those, like, not that much, because it's only one extra second.
Right.
Or shots, or whatever. Yeah. Crazy. Okay, whatever. General. So I have some more stuff here. Oh, we're actually almost done here. I've only got a couple more paragraphs, and then we're out of the patch notes. And I don't have a whole lot for the tweet, so I think we're doing pretty good. Making good time. It's an hour now, though. I'm already out. All right. Pretty good for the amount of stuff that was on the fucking patch notes, I guess. It was like 87 pages of nonsense.
Yeah.
All right. General added Foundry weapons as a reward for Law Sectors. I know we've talked about it in the past, but just keep an eye out for that. If you want to farm them, that's how you can farm them now in Law Sectors. Changed price for common and uncommon hand cannons and collections to match the price of other common and uncommon weapons. Fixed an issue where there's some sunset weapons had their damage type changed relative to what the damage type mod players had inserted. Reduce the duration of the time it takes to dismantle a deep sight weapon. Oh, thanks, shit. Since dismantle grants pattern progress. Does dismantle still grant pattern progress? I'm too scared to test it now that you can take the deep sight off of it before you dismantle it. But if you leave it on...
Dismantling gives you the progress.
It still does? You don't have to strip it and then delete it?
Correct.
Okay. Ah, shit. Eh. All right. Fair enough. I've been wasting my time. Fix an issue where exotic weapons have incorrect tray icons showing on kill feeds. Fix an issue where camera shifts slightly to the left when equipping a sidearm or hand cannon. Fix an issue where the Compass Rose Solstice shotgun was not in collections for some players. Fix an issue where the Subjective SMG was not in collection for some players. Fix an issue where the Kinetic Slot special ammo weapons were starting with max ammo reserves when landing into PvP activities. Ooh, that sounds awesome. Let's go, baby. Too bad it wasn't PvP activities. Anyway, accessories updated legendary and exotic sparrows to have 150 health, matching always on time, and then also did the same, giving them two speed selections, one matching always on time, and one matching the previous highest speed, which was 160, right?
Yep.
Actually, I have a question about that. Everything can go either 160 now or 190, okay? Right. Could always on time always go 190?
Always did go 190.
Did it have an option to slow it down?
No.
Okay. Because I always could have sworn mine said 160. And then when I saw... Okay. Wait, what?
Always on time has always said 160, but always actually was a 190.
Okay, see, I never knew that. I was like, wait, have I been driving always on time all this time on the slow setting?
No, it's always been faster than the number in the UI.
I felt so fucking stupid for like a whole day looking at that. And I was like, holy shit, are you kidding me? And then I was trying to look back and think back on when it was there. I was like, was there two options? Did I slow it down one time and completely forget about it? I was so mad. Okay, all right, good. Anyway, so it's good that they upped the health too, because that's also a really important aspect of always on time, in my opinion. So basically, yeah, we can use whatever legendary or exotic sparrows we want now. They're just as fast. We can do whatever we want. Sparrows are actually real again, chat. It's been since year two that I haven't used a sparrow other than always on time for more than like 2 days. Once in a while during Festival of the Lost, I would pull out my little spider sparrow or my witch broom or something, but I would always go back because it just sucked. Now I can just use whatever I want. I'm so fucking happy. I think people are undervaluing this change. It's huge for me. It's huge. And I love it. All right. That is all.
All right.
Do you not think that's a big deal? I love the fact that
good to get that off your chest?
I can use whatever sparrow I want now. Yeah, that's a big deal. I've got fucking 500 of them. I've been spending $10 for every event or whatever their event pass, earning myself, you know, different ghosts and different sparrows and different shit, doing perks for every single dungeon or season or raid that gives me new sparrows, and none of them. I could never use any of them. I'm getting all these sparrows and never had the opportunity to use them. And I know, yes, obviously I could just click and turn it on, but then I would be slow and I would suck. So why would I ever do that? Now I could just pick the one I like the best, put it on, and ride it around. So yes, sir, let me tell you, I'll be riding around that mini sparrow my whole life. Let's go, baby.
All right.
Anyway, all right. Quality of life improvements. Destiny. Okay, that's boring. All right, this includes some changes to the interface, making more intuitive, player-friendly. Bungie also implemented enhancements to the in-game communication tool, aiming to improve social aspects of Destiny. These refinements may seem small, but they significantly impact how we interact with the game. Not really. I don't know. to wrap this up, since let's talk about Bungie has made several tweaks to the in-game mechanics, ensuring smoother, more balanced gameplay. From handling of the weapons to abilities, interactions. I feel like I'm just repeating what I already read. How we play this. Okay, whatever. Fuck this. All right, Twid's next, baby. Let's go. We did it. We made it to the Twid. All right, today's big headline is about the final shape. Bungie has decided to. We've known, but they officially announced it. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Bungie has decided to shift the release date from February 27th to June 4th, 2024, of the expansion, The Final Shape. Bah, 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 bah. This change, according to them, is aimed at giving the development team more time to refine and expand their vision for the game. We're talking about bigger, bolder experience that's worth the wait. We'll have to wait to determine that. Anyway, stay tuned for April. Bungie's going to share some gameplay and insights about what they've been cooking up. So that's exciting.
Is it?
I mean, which one? That they're going to show us more in April, or that they delayed it till June?
Okay, we're going to get a showcase ahead of time because, you know, it's an expansion, not a season. Did you see the piece, the thing that was circulating around Twitter about why we don't get seasonal trailers?
Like, I did read something about it. Not because you can't pre-order it; they don't market it.
Yeah, there's no marketing incentive, so they don't even fucking bother. That's why the all the trailers and Vidocs and whatever are always fire for the expansions, but we never hear shit about seasons. So, am I excited for the Vidoc and for whatever they're going to show us? Yeah, of course. But my excitement for Destiny, just in general, is at an all-time low. All
right, that's fair. I'm glad they addressed it. Let's put it this way. I have more riding on Destiny than the game itself, which is why I probably give it a lot more leniency, I guess. Than most people would. I'm always hoping for it to succeed in bigger and better ways, even if it's not. So either way, it's coming in June. We're getting a Vidoc or whatever in April. I'm going to be there for it. Apparently we're getting new wishes quests in late February that help hold us over. They're pulling Guardian Games back into March from April, and it's going to have a renewed focus on actual class competition. I don't know what that means. Probably not much of a difference, to be honest, but a little bit different. Hopefully we get a memento. Guardian Games and Memento has the potential to be the best memento, just so everyone knows. Because it's so colorful and amazing. It better be.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna probably look like a crayon, box of crayons.
That's awesome.
It's gonna be one of those shaders that's blue, yellow, and magenta, all on the same thing.
Beautiful, beautiful. It's not a shader; it's a memento.
It's gonna strap Guardian Games logos all over your gun.
That'd be cool too, like Counter-Strike Go stickers. Like, ding, ding. I'd be fine with that. That would look sick. I'm easy to please, man. Just slap something colorful on my gun and I'm fucking ready to go. I'm ready to rock. All right. And three new PvP maps will drop in May, which will keep, if there's anybody left from the Crucible community by then, it will keep them occupied until the Final Shape launches. There was something else I remember that I didn't write down. They said it's like at the end of February. They said the wishes and then something else.
They're putting out some kind of mini content drop, kind of like 30th anniversary, called Into the Light around that time.
They said that, but then... April. They said that.
Yeah.
But when I read more into the Into the Light, from what I'm understanding, based on the way Bungie's talking about it, it's just it's a new light experience that will get new players ready for the final shape.
Well, they'd better do something, because you think the player counts were low at the end of last season.
Anyway, so originally when, you know, where did I hear that secondary information? Oh, it's from the people afterwards. There was a bunch of YouTubers that had went to a virtual conference or whatever it is.
Yeah, had a little summit about
this. Yeah, all their videos had indicated that, what'd you call it again? Into the Light?
Into the Light.
Into the Light was more of a new version of the current New Light or New Light experience. That would lead people into the final shape better. So the way Joe explained it is on that video was way inaccurate to me, because I heard it like you did originally, that it might be like a mini
version. I better
get
some kind of new activity or some shit before this season is over.
I don't know if you are. Just so you're aware. We'll see. All right. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's what it sounded like.
Buy that pre-order.
I only read a couple of them, or watched a couple of them. But that's what it sounded like to me. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't think I am, though. There was something else at the end of February, the beginning of March, though, that they said they were doing. I don't know why I can't remember what it was. Hold on a second. I wrote it down. Did I tweet it or did I write it? I think I wrote it in an announcement. Give me 2 seconds. Just gonna check real quick, see if I wrote it down. Moments of Triumph. That's what it is. Moments of Triumph makes its return at the same time, end of February. So hopefully they add new Moments of Triumph. It's basically like a mini event, so it'll be something to do. Some people aren't interested in that, but I am, so bring it on. Bring it on, baby. Let's go. They did that before Beyond Light, right? Was the last time Moments of Triumph?
Yeah.
They wanted everybody to do all this stuff before they got rid of it. Basically is what happened. I remember now, yeah. That was cool. Go Moments of Triumph. All right, so hopefully we get some good ones. It gives us some things to do. All right. So, what we had next was obviously a Season of the Wish. Obviously, release this week. New weekly missions. Add some variety of the gameplay routines. Yeah, baby. Coil's actually pretty good. New seasonal activity, also called Riven's Lair. Season pass holders, obviously new rewards in store for you. You'll be seeing the introduction of a new artifact, the Queen's Foil Sensor. Very solar focused. Maybe some a little bit of stasis sprinkled in there for funsies. A new dungeon, which launched today, seemingly received very well by the, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Hardcore Destiny community. We'll see what happens to the blueberries. And then also Dragon's Breath making its return back. We'll also have seen some updates to weapons and armor, and hopefully bring some balance and a new strategy into play. Yeah, we talked about the armor and weapons earlier. Dragon's Breath I want to talk about really quickly. I didn't know how that shit worked at all. I thought I was missing all my shots, dog. I was like, what is wrong with this rocket launcher? Until I realized that it's, you know, just spurting out fire from where it lands. And I was like, I get it now. Took me a while. I need to get the catalyst to see if it's any good, because it's not good right now. But it might be. once I have the catalyst completed.
It's not terrible right now. Yeah. It does decent damage, but it's not worth an entire fire team running it.
Okay, that's fair. Does Gjallarhorn affect it at all?
No. It's not a legendary rocket.
Right. Brain didn't activate there. All right, so we're going to shift focus up to what they did for Crucible currently. They said in the article that they've been listening to player feedback. Debatable. Particularly around the Season of the Wish PvP changes, so they made a couple of adjustments. First, control will remain a selectable mode alongside a new Sparrow control modifier. This is a nod to the players wanting to traditional gameplay options. Also, the momentum mode won't override the main control node anymore, but will rotate through the quick play rotator. An interesting point here, checkmate control will only be the main control node for the season's first 5 weeks. Do you think it's going to last that long?
It's not. Mercules has already said that regular control is going to be back next week.
Oh, damn. Okay. Then you'll find it in labs. So we'll probably find it in labs soon. But these changes, boring. Okay. All right. Next up. We already talked about how much Rekt hates checkmate control, so we're not going to get into it again.
I don't like checkmate control. And I also don't like that they have set the quick play, like the main list that people play, so that it's a different experience every week. It's bad. The only reason they put checkmate in there is because they wanted data for a larger set of people. They clearly didn't have enough data from putting it in labs. Yeah. They wanted to force it on a larger base of people to see how they could tune it. Sure. They should just say that. This is what we're doing. This is why. All right. If you don't like it, it's only temporary. And then moved on. But going from checkmate to regular to momentum to Sparrow, games that are all going to play vastly differently. So you can't just have a basic Destiny EVP experience is dumb.
Lucky was grumpy about that on Twitter this week, too. So was somebody else. Who else was complaining?
True Vanguard, Frostbolt.
Frostbolt is the one I want. Oh, I did reply to. He was complaining that he couldn't just do regular 6v6 or something this week. And I was like, oh, surely there's 11 people that would play with you. He didn't respond.
I mean... It's not really the point, but...
It's the point
let me ask you.
When
ask
you're you, famous.
Let me ask you your opinion on this.
Alright.
If you remove space magic from Destiny, how is it fundamentally different from playing Call of Duty?
It's a lot slower than Call of Duty, in my opinion. So...
If you take all the space magic out, I think Call of Duty is a better PvP shooter, a better PvP experience. Personally. I don't know why they would... I don't know why they would push all this build crafting stuff and then set up a playlist so that you can't do any of it. Like, I understand there have been lots of PvP hardcore people complaining that they want a game mode where it's guns. You're testing gun skill. Fine. Put that shit in comp. Where it belongs.
See, that's funny. I think it belongs in quick play.
It doesn't belong in quick play. Man, if you're going to push build crafting and space magic, then let me use it in all aspects of the game.
Go use it in comp, bitch. Sorry. I think they should have a node for every game type. So, whatever.
If they did that, then they would drop up. We don't have enough players for it, is the problem.
All right, we got 40,000 people online at any given time. That's plenty of players.
Not all in Crucible. They need to actually consolidate nodes, in my opinion. But anyway, that's just one guy's opinion. They don't know how to handle PvP in their game with low population.
They need a better game. Is their problem. A better Destiny game with more players.
It is a good game.
They need a better game with more players.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping Marathon turns into something, I guess.
They just need why don't
extraction shooters, but
somebody better be working on Destiny 3. Let me tell you right now. They better be working on Destiny 3. Cause
keep
like
fingers crossed.
I mean, after Final Shape, like honestly, they think they can keep this shit going. You know how many more players they would have? Even with the episode, like even if once is if somehow they make it to the end of the third episode without completely just shitting the bed and dying. Do they think there's life in this game after that? Unless they fundamentally change the whole concept of the game and really blow it out of the fucking park and somehow bring 100,000 people back on a regular basis, like on average, to be playing this game. So we're sitting at like anywhere between 80 and 130,000 concurrent players, like, which is unbelievable, like an unbelievable concept that's just not going to happen. But if it did happen, then yes, I got to understand that they could try to keep this alive. But I mean, why? What's the highest amount of players that Destiny's had in the last 2 years?
I have no idea.
It's not that high.
There's a big bump. There's a big bump for Lightfall, but that was it.
But even that, 300,000 maybe? Like the day it launched?
Yeah.
Well, get this, all right? If you release Destiny 3, you'll automatically sell at least a couple million copies, probably, right?
Yeah.
Probably. So you start over again with a couple million people and then let it fade down to eventually back down to 40,000 after like 4 or 5 years. But like, I don't know. If they're not working on 3, like that, they just don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. I don't know. They got to be working
on
3.
Yay, Marathon.
Well, Marathon's Marathon, right? Like, Marathon is going to be, it's like its own thing. But if there isn't either a new IP that's a game of service that will act as a Destiny 3 or actual Destiny 3, like, I don't know what their brains are thinking because it's wrong. It is absolutely wrong. And 2 years ago, people would have told you if they made Destiny 3, they would all quit playing. But I guarantee if you poll the crowd today, you're going to have a higher number that want Destiny 3 than want them to keep going with Destiny 2.
Yeah, probably.
And if they haven't figured that out, they're fucking idiotic, and they deserve to fail. That's just my point. Meet more. All right, let's finish. There's a couple more things here.
Fireteam Finder.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Some insights on the Fireteam Finder beta. Bungie just conducted a raid stress test yesterday, a crucial step before rolling out this feature more broadly in the beta that's set to kick off in December, depending on this test, the stress test results, with a full release targeted for late January. So I have more here, but I just wanted to quickly stop. Based on the tweets that went out yesterday from the Destiny 2 team, it looked like it was a fairly successful test, the stress test. They seem pretty happy about it. Even the last few hours, they opened it up to all the activities because they were happy with how it was working. It's pretty rare for Destiny, to be completely honest. So, I mean, it looks like we'll probably get the beta when they said, probably pretty early, sometime early this month. And we'll see where it goes from there.
Oh, yeah. This is me getting excited for a feature that probably should have been in the game on September 6th, 2017.
Yes, you know, yes, yes, whatever. Yes, yes. This definitely should have been in the game like it is for every game, everywhere, for everything. Well, it's not. Like, a lot of people are talking about this Fireteam Finder like there's no matchmaking in Destiny. You know, there's a lot of matchmaking in Destiny. You know, strikes, matchmaking, nightfall, da-da-da, blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. The problem is there's no harder activity matchmaking whatsoever in Destiny. So that's what this kind of replaces. That and anybody who wants to do fire teams for even easier stuff. So it does do both. But some people don't like randomize it because they want to put in like little modifiers or some shit. Whatever it happens to be. So we talked about this last week and how it was kind of pretty useless for us, you, a lot of veterans in the community. but also at the same time, just because we've already found ways to get around it that probably work better, which include mainly Discord. You know, there's Destiny 2 LFG, there's our community, the Shrouded Gaming community, the clans that we've established. There are plenty of stuff you could do. But I do think this could potentially be a game changer for like a lot of solo players that have been wanting to try some harder activities, but either are unwilling to investigate these other routes of fire team finding, or just unaware that they exist, which is totally possible. Some people are just completely unaware of their surroundings. They might not even know this came and went, but they may eventually realize that it is in the game. Anyway, it seemed like a good launch. It's going to be in the game soon. Bungie is going to be closely monitoring the rollout, which could potentially pave the way for more interactive and collaborative gameplay for certain people, which isn't a bad thing. But I hope they didn't spend too many resources that could have went into really cool activities for the final shape.
What do you mean, man? The team that's given us LFG was hard at work developing guided games for 6 years.
Is it the same team?
I don't know, but it's the same kind of concept, so I presume so. I suppose, so. Yeah. Listen, Guided Games was only in beta for 5 years, so it's fine.
I'd never even used it. I didn't even know what it was, to be honest.
I have done a guided game,
yeah,
right, where we brought somebody in. They were not on mic. They just tagged along as we did a raid. I tried to do a guided game as the person being guided, but after sitting in queue for 2 hours, I gave up.
Good Lord. Okay. Fair enough. That sounds fun. All right, so this could help some people out. So, like, I'm all for it helping certain people out, even if it's not going to help me out. So, good luck to them. Make sure it launches fully functional. All right, Iron Banner, we're going to talk about that for a minute, starting December 5th. A new mode called Tribute. This mode involves depositing crests at tribute stations for points, with a chance to trigger a hunt phase for high-value points. It's an intriguing twist that could add some strategic depth to Iron Banner. Oh, yay, strategic depth to random fire teams. I'm so excited. I think I'll be playing with Shrouded members this week. Also, Lord Saladin is bringing back Iron Banner armor ornaments from years 1 and 2. This is a big deal for a lot of people, actually. Offering a chance to complete collections. The Iron Simic Cheat... Fuck. Set returns.
All anybody cares about is the Mantle of Ephrodite, which is the cloak for the hunter, the Titan helmet, and Fellwinter's helm for the warlock. Nobody cares about anything else.
Okay. Well, the Iron Companion set moves to the Legacy focusing. I wonder if I have all that stuff. I should check it out. I want to see how OG I am. I should have it all. I definitely played a lot on Iron Banner year 1 and 2. So
the new Iron Banner emblem is pretty funny. It's covered in bananas.
Is it really?
Yeah, it really is.
All right, hold on. I don't even have it open. I just got my nuts open, so let me check this out.
It looks like a Jaquita banana sticker, and then when you get to the big view, it's wolves and bananas.
I must have skipped right over it. Oh shit! It is bananas. What the fuck? That's awesome, yep. Actually. Yep. That is a sick emblem.
That's cool emblem. Nice. But you know what I miss about Iron Banner?
No.
Iron Banner not being a party mode.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
That means some version of supers everywhere all the fucking time. Weirdness. I don't like it. I prefer Iron Banner control, or I actually like Iron Banner supremacy. I wish they'd bring back Iron Banner Supremacy.
Supremacy was That's really good. I do like Control, too, though.
I enjoy Kill Confirmed quite a bit. So I'm sad that instead we get Eruption and Fortress and some mode where you throw things in the hat to get your super as quickly as possible. But, So whatever. I'll still be playing it because I want those ornaments.
Yeah. I want that emblem. Looks sick. All right. All right, that's Iron Banner. Finally, Warlord's Ruin launched today. We talked about it at the tip of the podcast. It launched today. People seem to think it's good. Launch today, your sister granting skills. But access it by picking up in the Shadow of the Mountain. When I read this, I read Shadow of Mordor, by the way. Anyway, in the Shadow of the Mountain, quest from Ikora and launching it from the EDZ node. The final encounter's difficulty is set to 1810. So make sure, you know, you're around there at least. If you want to do max damage, I believe it's 1830. It seems unlikely that anyone's around there at this point in their careers. But, I mean, I guess it's totally possible. You guys could be plus 20 already or plus 21, whatever it is. What is the max damage? Is it 21 or 20?
20, I think.
Is it 20? Okay. I don't know why I thought it was 21 for a minute. I thought maybe Bungie was throwing us for a weird loop. Which they do. Yeah, that's that. It's live now. Go fire up a fire team. Get in there. Have some fun. Get a new emblem. Get some new guns. Get a new exotic crossbow thingy sidearm. Looks cool. Might suck.
Go. You two can go kill yourself a giant flying demon fleshlight. Enjoy.
Spoilers.
You'll understand when you see the boss.
I already understand. Fleshlights. Sounds cool. That's all the information that we have so far. So let's roll right into if we need to plug anything at the end of the podcast. Do we want to tell anybody about anything? Let them know how awesome the community is. Things like that.
Donning Bingo just started today. So if you're on the server, check out the announcements channel. Get all of the information. If you want to participate, your clan staff has to be willing to participate. They have not created channels for you to submit your Donning Bingo stuff for them to confirm. You need to harass them and find out why it is they hate the holidays. Okay? You heard it here. If you haven't set up those channels, you suck. Also, we have the first annual Cookie Vanguard Bake Off going on as part of our holiday event. And that is a cookie contest where you come up with recipes to fit the theme of one of the Donning treats that Eva has us make every year. You will share your recipe, a picture of your cookie that hopefully looks something like the Donning treat that it's based off of, and give us a little explanation of how your recipe encapsulates what that cookie is. So if you make Galler Doodles, I want to hear how your cookie epitomizes giving Zavala diabetes, all right? Because you know that man gets like a metric ton of those fucking cookies every year. So
if I make cooking... Are baking cookies part of the next catastrophe stream? Will I earn whatever it is that I can earn for baking cookies? Is that, like, good enough?
I mean, you could submit an entry.
My entry wouldn't be the live stream of me cooking, baking them and cooking them.
I mean, get somebody to chop up the VOD and throw it out there. Yeah, that would be fun. Okay.
Mm-hmm. What can I win?
There's a Cookie Vanguard roll that our winners will get, and we'll be giving away two final shapes based off a community and a staff vote.
Ooh. Final shape? What's that? Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding.
Something I don't own you.
Something released in June.
Probably.
Nah, it'll come out in June. They can't delay it any longer than that. They'll be fucked. They're already fucked. They're already fucked. They're not going to make any money between April and June. They're going to be shitting themselves. Final Shape's going to launch. People are going to love it. They're going to be like, oh my God, we saved Destiny. And then 2 months later, nobody will be playing it anymore. That is the reality of what's going to happen. I figured it out, chat. And if they don't make Destiny 3, Bungie's done for. Because Marathon's going to flop. Just so everyone knows. You heard it here first. All right, my plugs are, I want Marathon to be awesome. I love extraction shooters. I'd love to get a good extraction shooter. And I'd love for the community to love a second game so we don't always have to play Destiny. that'd be great. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I don't have a lot of faith in it, to be honest. Okay. So, what else? We got nothing other than Player of the Month's going to be tomorrow. It's probably going to be a little later than normal because I have a dinner that's 2 hours away from my house. That's at 11:30. That'll probably last 2 hours, and then I have to drive back, so I won't be back until like 4 o'clock, and then I have to get ready for the stream. Typically, the stream's at 5, so you will see the stream happen sometime tomorrow. I just don't know exactly when, but keep an eye out for that. I don't know, probably 6 or 7. Probably the regular stream time, to be honest, which is 6:30 Eastern. But no promises. I might drive into the ditch. And then just have to do it some other time. Who knows? We'll see, we'll see, we'll see. Other than that, I can't think of anything else that's really going on. It's the holidays. Let's have fun. You know what I did think of, Mr. Rekt? Next year, it's too late to do it this year. But I was like, we should see if people would be willing to sign up for like a Secret Santa.
Yeah, so... last year, I tried to come up with a way to do that that wouldn't be a super big hassle to manage. I looked into trying to see if there were like any online type services that were trustworthy that could be handled.
There is one.
It seemed like a lot of work to get it set up.
Okay, so we're using one for my work right now. And that's what gave me the idea because it was kind of perfect. You input all your information in, you put a wish list in, you do the Secret Santa, you draw all your names or whatnot and what together. And then, you know, the person who you draw your name, it gives you their wish list of all the stuff. It directly links to Amazon. You buy it and it sends it to them. Boom. Easy done. And then I figured we would do like a big like meeting on a specific day, tell everybody to keep their presents that signed up, and then we would do a big opening all on the same day, like over voice or over Discord calls. I thought it'd be really neat and work. So we should talk about that next year. So I'd be willing to help set that up.
Maybe we should try that on a smaller scale, just as a test to see how it's going to work for our community.
I don't think any more than the people that are at work is going to sign up to do it. So
yeah, all right. Okay.
To be honest, it'd probably be what? 30, 40 people at max, and I'm being generous?
Yeah, probably.
We'd set a max, obviously, like a max amount, like $30 or something. It doesn't have to be crazy, it's just fun, you know?
$1 million.
Nah, $30. The lower you have the max, the more people will sign up. So
sure.
Just all the right. way it is. Anyway, I thought of that last year. And I was like, I thought of it like a week ago. I didn't think of it. We were going over what we were doing. This should have been part of the post show. Whatever. Sorry, podcast. I'm going to finish it now, though. I was like, there's not enough time to do that now. But we can do it next year if we're all still around. If I'll be around. So if I have to do it by myself, that's fine. That's cool. But if you're still around, we can do it together.
We'll just see what Destiny does over the next year.
I'm still going to be here. I'll find a new game if Destiny dies and burns, crashes and burns. A new game to unite everybody. I don't know what it is. Genshin Impact? Let's go, baby. Just trolling. I fucking hate that game. It's so garbage. All right, hold on.
Outro?
I'm going to do an outro. Yeah. All right, that wraps up episode 40 of This Week at Shrouded. Thanks to Mr. Rekt for joining us and sharing their incredible insights. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Remember to check out our socials for updates and join our community for some epic fireteam action. right. Until next time, I'm your host, Ed Greener, signing off. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.